Closer. I want to ask you to draw a little closer. Put your hands out toward your television screen. Put your hands on mine.
I'm tired of scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites blocking God's bridges when the harvest is perishing out there and God's calling the body to come together. Let him sort out all this doctrinal doo-doo. I don't care about it.
Read what other people think. No. Doesn't matter what they think. Ooh, no more di esta pacalia, no. Oh, le bebe di apasciod opre. In a mamba no boco lombon jimba.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
Amen. That we're gods. I am a little god.
Yes. Yes.
I have the his name. I'm one with him. I'm in covenant relationship. Yeah. I am a little God.
If your engine is not revving up, you know what you need? You need a Holy Ghost enema right up your rear end.
In heaven, I gotta have it now.
Amen.
I mean, when I get to glory, all my bills will be paid, brother. I won't have bills in glory. I won't need to worry about bills in glory. I can have it here.
Hello, friends. I'm Tex Mars. Are greedy tele-evangelists and religious charlatans leading Christians, and in fact the whole world, into a spiritual wasteland? We're going to be examining this very important topic today, here on this video entitled, The Blind and the Dead. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Jude that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. The Bible also warns us that in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You'll find that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. And then finally, Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, states that the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that is the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, today we're going to look at this area of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The fact is, my friend, I am so saddened to tell you, because it breaks my heart to see these things in the church. But as I began to examine and investigate this area, what I found was so distressing, so horrible, that I began to literally cry. I sunk to my knees in disgust and utter contempt, and yet so sad for what I saw. I believe you'll feel the same way. Some are actually amused at what they see. At first you say, this cannot be. You will see men being led around on leashes as if they're dogs, walking on all fours and barking. You'll see women who look like they're drunks inside churches, going bonkers is all I can say. You will see false speaking in tongues that you know is blasphemous and against the Holy Ghost. You will see, my friend, women howling like wolves. You'll see such pitiful and despicable behavior that you know this behavior has to be because of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But what we do, what you're going to see in this report today, I want you to be the judge. I have just told you my opinion. I base it on the scriptures, and we're going to look at what the scriptures say. But I want you to be the judge. The Bible tells us to exercise righteous judgment. Please, let us do that. Please, let us earnestly contend for the faith. Why do we call this video The Blind and the Dead? Because, my friend, these people are blind teachers. They're blind. And I believe, regrettably, they have to be dead in their sins, or they would not lead people into such a spiritual wasteland of evil and death and blindness. Now, we're going to be looking at seven key areas. We're going to look at false and deceitful tongues. Second, we're going to look at what they call unholy laughter. They call it holy, I call it unholy. Third, we're going to look at what are, to me, signs of demonic possession. We're going to look at number four, crazy, and ungodly behavior and conduct inside the walls of churches. You're going to see the despising of sound doctrine. We're going to look at the anger and the violent temper displayed by some of these men and women. And then finally, you will see the real reason these men and women are carrying out these acts of treachery against God: greed and the inordinate love of money. Again, we report, and you decide for yourself, my friends. Let us then turn to our first area, the area of false and deceitful tongues. First, we need to ask in each of these areas, what does God's Word, His Holy Bible, say? And then we're going to look at the actual behavior and words of these men and women, some of the biggest name televangelists and ministry and church leaders in the world today. We're going to look at actual clips of these people, and then you can decide whether they fulfill the words of God. Are they obeying God, or are they following his adversary, the devil, that is, Satan? The first area then, false and deceitful tongues. What does God's Word say in this area? In Titus chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, we read, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 9, the Apostle Paul stated, "So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air." In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19, we read, "Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23, we read, "If therefore the whole church all speak with tongues, will they not say that ye are mad?" My friends, that's what God's Word says. Now, let us examine what some of the world's top Christian leaders say and are doing.
But Bennett is recognized as one of the pioneers of what we called, and I guess still do, the charismatic renewal. A renewed understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit amongst Christians of all denominations.
We need to release him. We have to let him out. Just begin to offer him sounds. Just offer him sounds, like a little child learning to talk. And don't pay any attention to how you feel or how you sound. Just do it.
Standing outside of a church in Houston, Texas one night, and our guys had, somebody had loaned them a Corvette. Boy, and they was excited. We was going to Denny's to eat. And one of our girls, Joyce Hunter, walked over to the car, and she said, "Well, where are we going?" And they said, "Well, Joyce, we're going to Denny's." Well, she was standing by the car. They pulled off, and they pulled over her foot. And when they did, she just literally crumbled to the ground. Well, the boys, I didn't even know what had happened, and a couple of the guys that were standing there with us reached over and picked her up and carried her over to my car and set her down. She was screaming. And when I went over to her, I didn't know exactly what happened. They said the car ran over her foot. Well, I just picked up her foot and put it in my hand. I said, "Apo Shadla Makasa, in the name of Jesus, you be made whole by the power of God." I feel that same glory right now. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost, folks. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost.
They begin to speak with other tongues. And darling, don't you think that's not unusual? That is an unusual response. When it happened to me, oh mercy, I was in a church, everybody was talking in tongues. They had fluent tongues. Oh, they were arabando kapa parabasia, and all I had inside of me was one little word floating around. Pookie poo. Pookie poo. And I thought, oh God, if I say pookie poo, I'll be destroyed. It'll be the end of my life if I end this. Everybody say, "Come on, man, turn it loose. Come on, you can do it." And I'm thinking, pookie poo, I can't say that. And finally, I just said, "A pookie poo." He's got it. He's got it. And I mean, the whole crowd went wild. All I said, but it was very unusual response. And with that unusual response, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I was not, it wasn't in the Bible anymore. It was walking around the church. It's pookie poo, pookie poo, pookie poo. I was just going like a house on fire.
Now, let me ask you another question. How many speak with other tongues here? Raise your hand. All right. Go ahead and speak. Stop. You can speak in other tongues, then you can laugh, because that laughter comes out of your belly also. Now take your right hand and place it on your belly, and just let that joy begin to bubble out of your belly, the same way you let tongues bubble out of your belly. Just go and cut loose and let that joy begin to bubble right out of your belly.
What other people think. No, doesn't matter what they think. Ooh, no more di esta pacalia, no. Oh, le beve di abashadopre. In a mamba, no mongo lombon jemba. Me nemo mori via casti a cello soso. Ooh, prefe di esta.
Yeah, ma che da boco bolte de se schiette fede. Bab fla mampangala ma hen.
And sakara di estocora, ey boya, ey ha, woo, prefia pala, many in socora de.
Se me le paghi visti di popom romongo, goi da la 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 la. Come sti scompunti, me lo provo a mano, nanga me le bai.
Deliver people
all right, well,
away from their
position. I want all the Christians to stand up. Yeah. And what we do, Ann and Ross, is this. That at our church a lot, when there's a deliverance, a classic deliverance of a demon-possessed person, we like a lot of praying in the Spirit, or what we call praying in other tongues. Now remember, Jesus said the first commandment is to cast out devils in Mark 16. You shall, in my name. Now the key is I have to know who I am in Christ. I better know I have authority over this thing, or I'm going to get my clock cleaned. Now I'm going to come against this thing in the name of Jesus.
All right.
And the blood. All right. Start praying in tongues, everybody. Let
the power of Jesus come out in the name of the Lord. Let the blood of Jesus command you to come out. Come out now, Jesus. Loose it. Loose it.
In the name of Jesus.
Come out. In Jesus.
Jesus.
We rebuke you, Father.
Have to pray for your will, Lord. And that same Holy Spirit wants to send spiritual light to a darkened world today, but he's waiting for you and me to say, oh, that spoken word is the key. Speak that thing. Decree that thing, and it shall come to pass. Whatever it is in your life that you're decreeing
right
as
now.
We speak a thing together, it intensifies it. As John says, it supercharges it. You've got to say it. You've got to speak it. You've got to decree it. You decree the thing. You pay your vow. And then he brings it to pass. It's in the Word. It's all through the book.
Now let's turn to the second area that we'll be looking at today. Unholy laughter. They call it holy. You decide. We read in James, and asking ourselves what God says. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 9, God said, "Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." In 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, we read, "Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in spirit." 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. "But let us who are of the day be sober." Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, we're admonished, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." My friends, this is what God's word has to say. Now let us examine the behavior, the words, and the conduct of some of the biggest names in Christendom today. You decide whether this is of God or of the devil.
I know this might sound a little sacrilegious to some of you, but really, in essence, you could call me a Holy Ghost bartender. That's probably sacrilegious to some. But I want you to know tonight the bar is open. The name of the bar is Joel's Place. J-O-E-L. The drinks on the house.
Drunk again. Ha 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 ha!
This is the first time we've had a full manifestation of that anointing. You got that?
Tell me what's your name and where you're from and what's been happening.
One of the most startling manifestations of the Toronto Blessing has become known as Holy Laughter. Members of Pastor Arnott's ministry team pray with visitors to the vineyard, who then, for no apparent reason, burst into fits of uncontrollable laughter. Firmly believe this laughter is caused by each person being filled with the Holy Spirit. But there are those who do not believe that what happens at the Toronto Vineyard is a direct sign of God's hand.
The first I knew this.
And now we move on to area three of deception. Signs of demonic possession. What does God's word have to say about this? First, we are told in Matthew chapter 17, verse 18, that it is Jesus that rebukes those who have signs of demonic possession. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he, that is the devil, departed out of him. In Mark chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, neither could any man tame him. My friends, God tamed this man out of the tombs, as you have seen. But are there signs of demonic possession in Christian churches today? Let us examine again the behavior, the words, the conduct of people who have been led astray into a spiritual wasteland by charismatic insanity.
And Allison, if you can, sweetheart, I want you to take just a moment and just share what the Lord's doing in your life and what's going on.
I'm 19 years old because I know that God loves people so much, and he's in a hurry. He wants everyone. There's not much more time. He aches and he grieves for your spirit. He grieves for you.
But then when the anointing hits me, I change. Benny becomes a different boy. And something happens inside of me. I don't know how else to say it.
And I would be preaching in a Southern Baptist church, a Southern Baptist sermon. And all of a sudden things would begin coming out of my mouth that I didn't even believe. And my mind would be racing forward to think about what I was going to preach next. But it would be moving backward, and I'd be saying to myself, did I say that? I don't believe that.
I would literally see forms of angels appear in my bedroom, just watching me talking. Mm-hmm. And every time I would do it, they'd look so puzzled, like, what does God want with him? They almost give me that feeling like, what does God want with him, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, I saw them in different shapes, by the way. I actually saw little ones. About the size of little boys. I saw that. Now, often I'd have my eyes closed, and I always prayed with the lights off. It gave me an intimacy. Don't know why, but I did. Mm-hmm. And to this day, many times, I just shut the lights. Because, you know, it helps you just pray, but I guess, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was my upbringing, because the Catholic teaching was that.
I said, well, I think some of them are faking it, Lynette. I said, that can't be. Not like that, all that jerking and shaking and just being down. And then Pastor Dan just touched my head, and he said, give her more, Lord, give her more. And I started going back, and he pulled me back forward again. He said, give her more, give her more. I went forward, and he said, give her more, give her more. And I hit the floor, and I never got up till 3 o'clock this morning in the bed. And then, glory to God.
Come on over.
All, you know, just be that intercessor that God wants for the hurting, for the church, you know, and being hurt myself, it's like I couldn't do that to the full capacity. But last night when Chastity sang, you know, come running to the mercy.
More. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Renew her now.
The fourth very vital area of deception we're looking at today is crazed. Yes, crazy, insane, and ungodly behavior. Again, we ask, what does God's word say? Let us turn to the Bible. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, God's word says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Also in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath given us a sound mind. And then finally, and oh, so very important, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, my friends, we're going to examine the works that are going on in churches, even in huge auditoriums with thousands of people today. Ask yourself, are these things in good order? Is this not instead utter confusion, chaos, craziness, ungodliness? We report, my friends, and you decide.
If your engine is not revving up, you know what you need? You need a Holy Ghost enema right up your rear end.
Tonight, the ministry of Benny Hinn responds to an iFiles investigation which revealed two heroin-related deaths within his ministry.
After returning from California this week, Hinn spoke to his employees about the public revelations. He also sent someone to talk to our Tony Pipitone.
Benny Hinn had agreed to talk to us in person about his church, but canceled after seeing our report last week. Instead, he sent a spokesman who says Hinn is upset about that report, a report on the role of heroin in the deaths of two employees.
Those employees was David Delgado, one of Benny Hinn's personal assistants, the man helping Hinn into his jacket before a crusade appearance last year. This is video from last December on what would be his last trip with Pastor Hinn. At the time, an Orange County homicide investigator was looking to question Delgado about the source of heroin that just weeks earlier had killed another employee of World Outreach Church, a man he had trusted to babysit his children years ago. But the questioning never happened, because by the end of 1997, Delgado too was dead, a result of heroin abuse.
In fact, Hinn's sensitivity to even being around tobacco smoke became apparent when he canceled an interview with us after seeing a portion of this amateur video of his trip to Jordan and our report last week.
There's no telling what they're gonna sing next. Hello?
Well, all of a sudden, the power fell. Well, the little woman playing the piano in that little church jumped up, started dancing all around the piano. But the piano kept playing. Okay, did you hear what I said? Hey, you that writes those books, Dwight Thompson. Now be sure to get this straight.
Something. Wait till they come to Boston. Toronto.
Leave us to ourselves. Don't leave us to our foolish thinking. Lord, we want all that you have, all that you have.
Yes.
And Lord, if it blows our little minds, let them be blown. Father, we want all of what you have, all of what you have. We thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord just reminded me of the old hymn where he leads, I will follow. And he had God told me to look at him, and I looked at him, and he had a tie on. And on, I don't know if he's here tonight, but he'll know, on the tie had a wolf howling at the moon. And the Lord said to me, will you howl for me? I said, don't ask me to do that, Lord. He said, if I ask you, will you do it? He said, if I can't ask you to do something in your own house, how are you going to do it out there? So...
Darling, hear me. Don't expect the miraculous until you're ready to do the ridiculous. And I can show you that from one end of Scripture to the other, that the miraculous came when the ridiculous was done.
Is against the devil, and right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come against every force of hell, every power and principality that would raise itself up in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, saints, don't lay it. Labor, 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 labor. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You begin to wave it, wave it, wave it. Look at the banner. Look at the banner. Be encouraged. Stay focused. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
A fifth and very important area for us to look at is sound doctrine. Do these men, these televangelists and these religious leaders of today, are they exercising and demonstrating and teaching sound doctrine? Well, what does God's word say we are to do and to think? How are we to act? Hebrews chapter 13 verse 9 says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Titus chapter 2 verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 3 and 4, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, dear friends, we're going to show you what's going on today in some of the largest charismatic and Pentecostal, Baptist, you know, whatever the denomination, whatever the group, you're going to see some of the things that are going on. What these men are saying, are they uttering sound doctrine? We report, and you exercise righteous judgment and decide for yourself.
Finally, I got it down that Jesus literally suffered the flames of hell for us, that we don't have to.
I want to ask you to accept and bless and receive, and you've got to react, folks. You've got to react. Let this man gets in the aisle and goes a little nuts. That's wonderful. The enemy is absolutely going bonkers tonight. Come on, receive the prophet. Bring him on. Go. Yeah. Come on.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Well, we have had a very exciting evening last night. God moved and did what he wanted to do, but there is something that you need to understand. God is raising up a prophetic generation. You say, oh, were they not prophets? Every generation had a sound. We have a special, very specific sound that God is giving to us. You're at the right place at the right time for the right reason at the right season. That's where you are at right now. You were supposed to be alive. You're supposed to be alive. I don't know about you, but we have some warriors that God's raising up. In other words, we're going to kick some butt. No, I'm not here to give you a three-point sermon. In fact, somewhere in the midst of this mess, God is going to come in. And he's going to speak. God's going to speak to us. I don't care how he speaks. He can be through a blue jacket, he can be through an untidy, long-haired somebody, but as long as he speaks, I'm happy. Come on, come on, just speak to us. As long as he speaks, I'm happy. I said as long as he speaks, I'm happy. Everybody say, speak, O Lord. We're ready to hear. Speak to us. Okay. We are tired of a predictable format. We want some unpredictability. We want some unaccountable impulse to come into our services where God can just take over, raise the dead while we're not even praying for them. So we don't get the glory for raising the dead. So we don't get the glory for healing the sick. So we don't get the glory for opening the eyes. So we don't get the glory for opening the ears. You see, God must get the glory. God must get the glory. Only God must get the glory. That's what he's going to do. Come on, you and me. Is there a Jonathan that will break the boundary set up by Saul and put a spear up the butt of a Philistine? Do we have a Jonathan in the house?
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
To those of you calling during the program, I want to send you this very special polished hewn aluminum oil vial keychain. It's guaranteed leak-proof. It's filled with the most fragrant, delightful anointing oil that I have prayed over. And friends, it has and contains the same anointing that you see flowing in our crusade services. You can minister to your loved ones. This little keychain is guaranteed leak-proof. And I know that as you use it as a powerful point of contact to anoint yourself and others, you're going to experience many mighty miracles. Will you come a little bit closer? I want to ask you to draw a little closer. Put your hands out toward your television screen. Put your hands on mine as a powerful point of contact.
Do you know what else that's settled then tonight? This hue and cry and controversy that has been spawned by the devil to try and bring dissension within the body of Christ, that we're gods. I am a little God.
Yes. Yes.
I have his name. I'm one with him. I'm in covenant relationship. Yes. I am a little God.
A sixth area of great concern to me is that these teachers, the ones whom I identify and call, quite soberly, the blind and the dead, many of them, when they're challenged, grow angry. Their temper flares up. They literally throw temper tantrums. They even threaten to physically harm and cause violence to their adversaries. These are not things that men and women of God should be doing, my friends. And so I ask in this area of deception, number six, anger and violent temper. What does God's word have to say should be our decorum, our conduct, our demeanor? Let's turn first to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. James 3, verse 8 warns about anger and about the misuse of the tongue. He says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of poison. And then finally, Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. That's what God's word has to say, my friends. And now let's examine what some of the top leaders in Christendom are doing or saying in this area of anger and vile communications.
It's quite simple. See, Jesus said, by the fruits you will know them. And just watch the person's fruit. If they display a clean life, a Christian character, if they show true Christianity, then they're really for real.
And you wonderful people of God, quit attacking man of God by name. Somebody's attacking me because of something I'm teaching. Let me tell you something, brother. You watch it. Dear God in heaven, I wish I can just... They call out the minister in my foot. You know, I've looked for one verse in the Bible. I just can't seem to find it. One verse that said, if you don't like him, kill him. I really wish I could find it. But don't mention people's names on your radio program and your TV program thinking you're doing God service. You're not. You stink, frankly. That's the way I think about it. Sometimes I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'll blow your head off.
But just in case there's one or two skeptics here, I need to issue this warning. You have to be very careful what you say about the move of God. Because you see, Jesus said, that which is said to me will be forgiven. That which is said against my Father will be forgiven. But that which is said against the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven, not in this life or in the life to come.
If you're not careful, some of these heretic hunters who take pleasure in riding around in an old rattle trap car had better be careful.
Oh, give me a holy hoot.
No.
They'll tell the devil. Tell those silly people to go take a flying leap. I don't care what those kind of people think. Man, this is God's work. It don't have anything to do with what these fuzz brains think anyway. Let's believe for the blessing and get the gospel out. Amen. And yet the people that are in bondage to money, you want me to tell you? Listen here, this is making me mad.
More.
Take your stupid book and stick it in the bottom of a bird cage. That's where it belongs. What?
Where did I lose control?
That's where it belongs, is in the bottom of a bird cage.
And I want to say to all you scribes, Pharisees, heresy hunters, all of you that are going around picking little bits of doctrinal error out of everybody's eyes and dividing the body of Christ and arguing over splinters and doctrinal hairs and dissipating and wasting all of our time when the world's going to hell, I say get Get out of God's way. Quit blocking God's bridges, for God's going to shoot you if I don't. I'm tired of scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites blocking God's bridges when the harvest is perishing out there and God's calling the body to come together. Let him sort out all this doctrinal doo-doo. I don't care about it. I did you build my kingdom here on earth. The rest of this stuff is what Paul the Apostle calls dung. Dung. Human excrement. It's not worth anything. Get rid of it. I refuse to argue any longer with any of you out there. Don't even call me if you want to argue doctrine. If you want to straighten somebody out over here, if you want to criticize Ken Copeland for his preaching on faith or Dad Hagen, get out of my life. I don't want to even talk to you or hear you. I don't want to see your ugly face. Get out of my face. In Jesus' name.
And finally, we move to the seventh great area of deception. Greed. Yes, unfortunately, greed and an inordinate love of money. I am afraid that when I investigated, I found that all of these men seem to have an excessive ambition, a burning ambition for the material things, the carnal things of this earth. Oh, we all need money to live, of course. None of us wants to be poor out on the streets, without shelter, without food. But God promised us all of these things would be added to us if we simply sought his righteousness first. So now we're going to look in this area of greed and love of money. What does God tell us to do? What does his word tell us should be our attitude? What should our heart be? Let us see what the Bible says. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, we read this warning, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." Yes, friend, a warning. They'll make merchandise of you. Then we read James, the brother of Jesus. He states in chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor." Oh, my friends, God has chosen the poor of this world. Not very many rich men are called. We see this. But those who would make a grave error despise the poor and seek after riches. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 11 warns, "But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare. For the love of money is the root of all evil." In Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21, Jesus himself, what did he say about money? He said, "Lay up not for yourself treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Remember this verse, because you're going to see one man who is known as the greatest faith healer in the charismatic world today, say exactly the opposite. Remember Jesus' words, "Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." The wise words of Jesus. And you will see how despised they are among these men whom we profile. And then finally, Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 11 says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers who subvert, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." Now, my friends, we're going to examine some of the words and the behavior of the biggest name televangelists, biggest name teachers in the charismatic world today. We report on what they say. You've seen what God had to say, and now you decide whether they're on God's side or on the side of the adversary.
God, for my darling Christian mother that pointed me to Jesus, if we had more good Christian mothers that would teach the boys and girls how to America, better men and women, and not so much juvenile delinquency.
There would be, you know, gestures like when I would say Jesus, my arms would have to go out to, and I would say the devil, I would go forward, and she had this incredible set of signals. They were like if she would say, oh Jesus, if I was going too slow, or if she said, glory to God, you know, that meant you better speed up and go a little bit faster. Then later on, they came up with more signals like praise God meant, you know, you've got the people where you need them, you better take an offering and raise some money.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Lift up your hands and worship the Lord. Praise Him tonight. Hallelujah! Oh, God is so real tonight. If you can't feel the Holy Ghost tonight, man, you're dead and you don't know it.
Where are your garments? Spotless are they, white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Jesus is so good to me tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I praise the Lord. Oh, glory, glory. Hallelujah. I feel good in my soul. Praise the Lord. Boom. Sure isn't as heavy as it used to be, though, in the old days. Wow.
There's one guy that gets into it so heavy that he prophesies, and he told me how he did. He sat right, I mean, he looked right across the table back and forth at me, and he told me how, you know, how he confiscates money. He says he's on this station, it's over 40 states, and he'll go on there and he'll get on the radio and he'll say, I know that listening to my little voice tonight, that there's some lady out there and you've got $10 put away in a cookie jar. Now God spoke to my heart and told me to go and tell you to get that $10 and get it in the mail and send it to me, and God will bless you. God will give you a reward such as you have never known before. And then he comes back to me and he tells me, he says, if you're on the radio and you're going over 40 states and you're on at prime time, you've got thousands of people listening, the chances are that there are at least 200 or 300 little old ladies who've got a $10 bill in a cookie jar. And so if you even get, you know, if a couple hundred go over and get it and send it to you, that's $2,000 that you've made just like that.
I'm sitting on the platform trembling. And I said, I claim $150 this week. I'm just going to be there 1 week. Satan, take your hand off my money. Go ministering spirits and cause the money to come.
You're saying this out loud now to the church?
No, nobody there. I'm not paying attention.
Oh, just in the church by yourself. Okay. Okay.
Went on back over the house, laid down, took me a nap. That settles it. He said, don't pray, so I don't pray.
You spoke it, didn't you?
I've never, for me personally, I've never prayed about finances and again. That day to day.
Paul,
do you claim the amount you need, though?
Yeah, claim it, but I don't pray like we used to pray.
Now, I know the heretic hunters are going to have me on the spit barbecue for this, but let me tell you. You didn't get into church in the Old Testament unless you had a gift. You didn't get through the door. You were not welcome into the church, into the tabernacle, into the temple. That was the price of admission. You came to God only if you had a gift in your hand for Him.
Do you know that God never blesses sheep before He blesses shepherds? Shepherds get it first, then the sheep get it. Because sheep follow shepherds. If we shepherds follow sheep, we're going to have poo on our shoes.
So, is that an Israeli word?
Something like that. So the sheep must follow the shepherds. And God always blesses the shepherds first. So a pastor can never see his church prosper if he's poor. See? Never. Well, it's not in the Bible.
Heretic hunters, of course, would say, now Jesus would have healed that servant anyway, whether he'd have built a synagogue or not.
But they probably wouldn't be able to say it on television, because they can just, they can barely keep the rent paid on the building, much less shoot up satellite, because what they're doing don't work.
Poverty can make your word be ignored. You want to talk about a blessing? It's a blessing whenever you start to tell somebody how to get saved, and they sit down and they want to hear it. Quite something else when they look at you and say, man, I don't want what you got. You saved? Wow. But let me tell you something. I don't want to live like you live and have to drive around like you drive around. Listen to it. Your words are not heard when you walk in insufficiency, when you walk in poverty. Now, I can get a call from somebody, you know, Brother John, I want to tell you that I don't think it's right to be preaching about money and blah, 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 and, you know, I don't have any money and I'm getting along fine. I'm not going to listen to that very long. But you let somebody call me up, you let somebody of import, you let one of these, you let a businessman call me up and say, Brother John, I want to tell you how God has blessed me, and I want to put some finances into the kingdom of God. I'll listen to that man. You'll listen to that man, too.
Let me tell you what the good news about that is, though. You know what it is? Those of us who do give, we're going to get all the reward. We're going to get it all. They're going to be waiting on us, boy. They're going to be waiting on us.
I want to happen. I want to see it now. Now I'm sick and tired of hearing about streets of gold. I don't need gold in heaven. I got to have it now. I mean, when I get to glory, all my bills will be paid, brother. I won't have bills in glory. I won't need to worry about bills in glory. I can have it here. You say, well, Benny, isn't that wonderful to have gold, streets, and glory? Well, of course. But if I hear the thing one more time of how it will be and how it was, I'm going to kick somebody.
Well, dear friends, we've examined what God had to say and what evil men and seducers are doing in the churches and in the world of Christianity today. Again, I want to remind you that Jude in verse 3 says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Do these things disturb me? Should they disturb you? Yes. They anger me, but more than that, they sadden me. I want you to do something, my friends. Would you please pray for each of these men and women? Would you pray for them? There are so many millions out there who have been deceived. They have good hearts. They want to be sincere. But because of the love of money and because of the love of excitement and because of the rejection of the Word of God, they're following after false teachers. They're whoring after the gods of hell. Please pray for these men and women that they can be set free. Jesus came to set the captives free, to put you and me and so many at liberty. We've reported on these things. Maybe you do not agree with me. I would like to hear from you. I'm glad to listen to your letters and your comments. I appreciate your encouragement so much in this ministry here at Power of Prophecy. We've looked at the blind and the dead. But my friends, remember this. God can open eyes. And even if a man or a woman be dead, he can quicken the soul, quicken the spirit, and bring you up. He can resurrect you into life. Never forget, my friends, all is not lost, for Jesus still sits on the throne today. This is Tex Mars. May God richly bless you.